Hello and welcome to the Soitec Q3 Sales for Fiscal Year 2023 conference call. My name is Caroline, and I'll be your coordinator for today's event. Please note this call is being recorded, and for the duration of the call, your lines will be on listen-only mode. However, you will have the opportunity to ask questions at the end of the call. This can be done by pressing star one on your telephone keypad to register your questions. If you require assistance at any point, please press star zero, and you'll be connected to an operator. I will now hand it over to your host, Mr. Pierre Barnabé, the CEO, to begin today's conference. Thank you.
Hello. Welcome to Soitec's conference call dedicated to the publication of the revenue for the third quarter of our fiscal year 2023. This is a quarter covering the period from the 1st of October and the end of December 2022. I'm Pierre Barnabé, CEO of Soitec. Together with me on this call are Bernard Aspar, our COO, Léa Alzingre, our CFO, and Steve Babureck, our SVP Strategy. As usual, we will briefly comment on our revenue performance, and after that, we will open the floor to questions. I'm very pleased to report that we had another strong quarter in line with our full-year target. With a revenue of 274 million euros, Q3 2023 is slightly stronger than an already strong Q2 2023 quarter. This makes Q3 2023 our second-best quarter ever. Compared to Q3 last year, we achieved a strong 32% growth on a reported basis. This is a combination of a 25% organic growth and a positive currency impact of 7%. Performance was driven by sustained growth in mobile communication and very sharp growth, both in automotive and industrial and in smart devices. Another source of satisfaction is a strong growth achieved in FD-SOI wafer sales, which confirms the increasing adoption of our product family across our three end markets. Looking now in more detail at our Q3 revenue by end market, let me start with mobile communication, our largest divisions, which accounted for 62% of our revenue in Q3 2023. Revenue in mobile communication reached 170 million euros compared to Q3 2022. This is an 11% increase excluding currency impact. Revenue growth was driven by both higher volume and a positive price mix effect. As you know, our mobile communication business leverages the growing adoption of our 5G smartphones and Wi-Fi 6, as well as the deployment of 5G infrastructure. Thanks to our flagship RF-SOI product, we strengthen our strong leadership in RF application for front-end modules. In Q3, we continue to benefit from the significant increase in the footprint of our RF product in every 5G smartphone as compared with 4G smartphones. This increase in RF content was amplified by a growing penetration of 5G high-end smartphones. Our performance has also experienced a tailwind from replenishment at some of our customers. FD-SOI momentum in mobile communication is progressing in front-end modules in both sub-6 GHz and 5G millimeter wave. As for POI wafers dedicated to RF filters for 5G smartphones, we are delivering wafers to many Tier 1 and Tier 2 customers who have confirmed the value of POI. They are still going through adoption phase, and this process of qualifying different module architectures should last few quarters. All in all, and as evidenced by the sustained level of growth achieved, we continued to see tractions in RF application despite a slower smartphone market in terms of total number of units sold. Our long-term agreement and some inventory replenishment allow us to confirm our fiscal year 23 guidance. Going forward, we anticipate inventory digestions across the RF supply chain through 2023. We are closely monitoring the situation and working on different scenarios to assess the impact on our activity next year. Moving now to automotive and industrial, which represents around 14% of our total revenue in Q3. Revenue in automotive and industrial reached 37 million euros. This is a sharp 84% revenue growth year on year, excluding currency impact. Growth was essentially driven by volumes. We continue to see growing demand for automotive applications driven by the increase in semiconductor content in the new generation of vehicles. Higher content is related to infotainment, to autonomous driving and functional safety, as well as to the shift to electrical and hybrid vehicles. In terms of products, growth in automotive and industrial is mainly coming from a strong surge in FD-SOI wafers, whereas Power-SOI wafers also delivered sustained growth. Turning now to smart devices, which represent 25% of our total revenue in Q3. Revenue from smart devices reached 67 million euros. This represents a 50% organic growth compared to Q3 22, supported by higher volumes and a highly positive price mix effect. Demand is supported by higher connectivity, embedded intelligence, edge computing, cloud computing, more complex sensors, and the need for lower energy consumption. This strong demand for smart devices applies both to consumer products and industrial sectors. The increase in FD-SOI wafers sales was particularly strong, validating the value proposal of the FD-SOI technology for ultra-low power edge AI applications. We also recorded a solid growth in photonics-SOI wafers used for data transceivers in data centers. Finally, sales of imager-SOI wafers, which allow improved imager performances for 3D sensing applications, remain at a sustained level. Let me now give you a quick overview of our year-to-date performance. Based on strong dynamics supporting each one of our three end markets, revenue for the first 9 months of fiscal year 23 came at 745 million euros, up 28% versus the first 9 months of fiscal year 22. On a like-to-like basis, 9 months growth stands at 20%. And as far as our industrial performance is concerned, our teams continue to deliver an outstanding job. We maintain a very robust industrial execution in Bernin, France, and our 300mm SOI fab in Singapore continues to enjoy a good ramp-up in production following ongoing capacity increase. Looking beyond fiscal year 23, we are confident in the prospects of our SmartSiC technology and its ability to accelerate the transitions toward electric vehicles. As promised, we announced in December our new cooperation agreement with a leading SiC device maker, STMicroelectronics. And we are not stopping there as we continue to deliver wafers to multiple players. With this good performance since the beginning of the year, we are well on track to achieve our guidance for fiscal year 23. So let me confirm, we continue to expect fiscal year 23 revenue to grow around 20% organically, and we are expecting our fiscal year 23 EBITDA margin to reach around 36%. This ends my opening remarks. Thank you for your attention. We are now ready to take your questions.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question or make any contribution on today's call, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We will take the first question from line Alexander Patrick from Social General. The line is open now. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hi, good morning. This is Alexander from SocGen. First of all, can you come back a little bit on the outlook for the smartphone market? We had a few positive signs with China reopening. Also, the comps are going to start to look quite easy for Android markets in general from the middle of this year, calendar year onwards. So I'd just like to understand if you now see a road to recovery for smartphone markets as a whole, or should we, on the contrary, be cautious as we model your fiscal year 24 growth in mobile as the inventory glut works through the food chain down to the demand for your RFSOI substrates? That's just one thing I'd like to understand. And then secondly, on POI, you say that you have further customers that are in the qualification process and that will take a few quarters. Once all of that is concluded, would you see any need for further capacity expansion in POI, or are you happy with the current, I think it's about 750,000? So if you could elaborate on that a little bit. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Alexander. Then I will take the first question around the smartphones inventories, and I will let the floor regarding POI to Bernard. Then for the there are two elements. There is a smartphones visibility towards the volumes for the coming year, and then the inventories. For the smartphones levels and what we consider, as you know, we are analyzing in depth our visions and what we see and we forecast. And we're going to deliver these figures during the Barcelona Mobile World Congress end of February to give you really our view and our visions on the volumes of smartphones, including, of course, the 5G penetrations we consider. Regarding the inventories, as we said, we are monitoring after a replenishment period, we are monitoring very cautiously the evolutions towards all RF supply chains, especially we anticipate inventory digestions. But this is something on which we are still working and working for many months in order to give you our guidance by spring on really the VDP we have and the impact on our RF activities for fiscal year 24. Then what I suggest is, Bernard, perhaps to complement and to answer the elements on the POI.
Yes, Pierre. Hello, everyone. So on the POI, you're right that we see traction, and the value here is recognized by all the players. But we are still on this qualification phase because the process is taking longer than expected. In terms of capacity, with the capacity at full fab of 750,000 wafer per year, is the visibility that we are, and this will be enough for midterm. I want to highlight that we are not yet at this full capacity. This is a key point. And if we need to go to higher volume, it will be more on the long term, and this will be due only with customer commitment. But for the moment, with our plan, we have enough capacity.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. We will take the next question from line Emmanuel Matot from ODDO. The line is open now. Please go ahead.
Hello, everyone. Hope you can hear me well. Emmanuel Matot speaking from ODDO BHF.
We hear you well, Emmanuel.
Thank you. Hello, Pierre. First question, how do you explain that your customers haven't started to reduce their order for RF-SOI wafers during Q3, considering the disappointing volumes of smartphones sold in the world? Second, how much of Soitec's sales growth next year will depend on the reopening of China? Not an easy question, but can you maybe remind us how you are exposed to that country directly and indirectly? And my third question is about your SmartSiC technology. Following the first contract with STMicroelectronics, have you seen more traction? Can we expect new customers in the near term? What's your view on that? Thank you.
No, you're welcome, Emmanuel. Then on the, I will do indeed the same frame than for the first bunch of questions, and I will ask Bernard to take over the SmartSiC questions, if you don't mind. Then for the first question regarding the fact that we are resilient on fiscal year 2023 regarding the smartphone market and the RF business is linked to two elements. First of all, we have benefited from a replenishment of inventories that were quite low a few times ago. And second, and it's the most important for me element, is that we are benefiting from, as you know, a long-term agreements that is giving us visibility and in the needs and the deliverables towards major customers that are using our technology. That are, as you know, more and more used because we are extending our footprint in each phones, and it gives me a good rebound to the second question regarding the impact of China. Indeed, we are not thinking by countries; we are more thinking by type of phones and smartphones. And the more we are 5G and high end, the more we are selling. Footprints, the more we are selling, millimeter square, as you know, from Soitec, with more and more features, of course, with a lot of RF, but more and more also FD, and more technology to come in the future. Then the real impact is of economies, including China, is towards the level of quality and functionalities of the phones. Then it's really the way we need to see. The fact that 5G was at 50% penetration rate in fiscal year 23 was, of course, a good rate, and will give you the rate of penetration for fiscal year 24 in 5G during the Barcelona Congress. But it is this metrics we need to follow. Bernard, for the SmartSiC.
Yes, hello, Emmanuel. So on the SmartSiC, after the announcement of the cooperation of ST, we continue to deliver a lot of wafers to ST and to other customers, as we already highlighted. We deliver wafers to customers around four regions in the world. So this is something which is very key, and here we are making progress. The value of this product is recognized by everyone, and depending of the customer, we are the evaluation phase or qualification phase. So we are on track. And I don't know if we will share a few names later, but for the moment, many of our customers are working closely with us.
Thank you, Bernard. Thank you, Pierre.
Thank you. We will take the next question from line Jerome Ramel from BNP Paribas. The line is open now. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. Quick one on, could you update us what the current capacity is in Singapore?
Bernard, you want to take over this one?
Yes, today we are around 50% capacity. So you know that in Singapore we are growing step by step. We continue to ramp. We talk about 40% of capacity a few months ago. Now we are around 50% of capacity in Singapore for our Pasir Ris One building. And you know that this Pasir Ris is going up to 1 million wafer.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Thank you. Second question. There were some articles recently stating that China is looking more closely at FD-SOI ecosystem. A few years ago, there was some degree of collaboration, outside of Tsinghua, for FD-SOI maybe to be deployed in China. Could you update us on the situation vis-à-vis China and the potential of FD-SOI in China and with the current environment in terms of, trade war and so on? What is China still on the table for Soitec, or how should we think about it? Thank you.
Well, we are working towards China with China two ways. First of all, we are subcontracting production of 200 millimeters to a partner called Tsinghua. Okay, that's the first element of our cooperation to China in SOI. And of course, we consider China as a very important, let's say, customer and country in semiconductor industry. And we are selling finished goods to Chinese customers as we are selling across the world. There is no specific other element than this one that are quite simple.
Okay. Thank you.
Perhaps I can add that regarding the FD-SOI ecosystem, what we see today is that this FD-SOI ecosystem is getting stronger and stronger, and whatever the region. So this is one thing which is very important for us. And it's for that when you look at this, when I want to come back on the capacity that you asked me, Jerome, Pasir Ris 1 is 1 million wafer, 50% currently, ramping, but with the visibility that we had on the FD-SOI, we launched the extension of Pasir Ris to go up to 2 million later. So today we are very confident on the progress that we see on FD-SOI.
Thank you very much.
And just to precise, Jerome, when we sell finished goods afterwards, you have Chinese foundries using our technologies, including FD-SOI, to deliver final products, of course.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We will take the next question from line Aditya Metuku from Credit Suisse. The line is open now. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, guys. I have a few questions. I don't know how many you can answer. Just quickly, on the LTAs, I wondered if you might be able to say what proportion of your shipments looking forward are covered by LTAs at the moment. Secondly, given all the uncertainty around the mobile market and the potential for inventories to be adjusted as we go into your next fiscal year, are you able to say anything at all on how we should think about automotive and industrial growth and smart devices growth into 2024? Those two divisions are slightly of a black box nature, and it's very difficult for us to model those, other than to say that they're just growing very strongly. So can you give us any color there? And then just on silicon carbide, I just wondered if you could talk a bit about how you see revenues for you from this agreement, maybe conceptually, you know, just help us think about how we should model it, and any color on how to think about volumes from this agreement would also be helpful. Thank you.
Then on the first question on LTA, we are not communicating in details on the proportions of LTA. What we can tell you that it is growing significantly because of course it's extremely important in the whole supply chain to increase visibility in a market that on the long run is going to continue to grow and to be very demanding and asking for more and more deliveries. Then the LTA's contract will be spreading out step by step, but we have a significant portion, but without communicating more. For what we discussed on fiscal year 24, as we said, we are working on different scenarios regarding the mobile phones and then the impact on RF. You understood also that we are very confident in the growing aspect and engine of FD-SOI, and of course, but you're going to see the combinations of all these elements to give you fiscal year guidance by spring, as we promised, reflecting all these elements and the scenarios we are working on today. Regarding silicon carbide. Volumes and information, we will not go further to what is today in the press release and what we have already announced for keeping confidentiality of this market that is under construction and for which there are a lot of different elements we keep confidential so far, and as soon as we'll be in a position to tell you, we'll tell you. But of course, you know already what the Bernin 4 capacity that will be opened by spring for first commercial wafers, and you know we have already communicated in the capacity of this factory. But for commercial contract, we don't communicate in volumes and value for the moment.
Got it. Am I allowed to ask another question?
What we say is that 10% in fiscal year 26, around 10% of our revenue will be related to SmartSiC in fiscal year 26.
Got it. Can I ask an additional question, or shall I join the queue again?
No, go ahead, Eddie.
Go ahead.
Okay, just one quick question, just on FD-SOI and thinking about it, about the geopolitical issues. You know, clearly FD-SOI has use cases in military applications, and given the nature, and also you know, if the Chinese are unable to get the tools to move further down into the smaller node sizes, you know, there is a chance for them to use FD-SOI to get some of the benefits that they couldn't get using FinFETs and smaller nodes. So I just wondered, do you see any risk of FD-SOI, kind of coming into the scope of, potential regulations, et cetera, at a later stage? I don't know, maybe not immediately, but maybe in a year, 2 years' time, especially given all the news flow around the Chinese, wanting to use more FD-SOI. Any thoughts you have around this and how you think about it conceptually would be helpful. Thank you.
Well, FD-SOI is not presenting a particularity towards military applications or features compared to any other technologies like ASGA, GAN, or whatever. Then there is no really particularity regarding that, and we are confident that FD-SOI will continue to be sold everywhere in the world. But of course, as we said several times, we're going to respect, of course, the laws and the limitation, if any, but we don't foresee and forecast for FD-SOI such problematics and sanctions.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. We will take the next question from line Francois Bavignes from UBS. The line is open now. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you. Can you hear me okay?
It's okay.
Okay, thank you. So I have two quick questions. The first one, I'm sorry, I joined a bit later the call, but if you look at the release, you mentioned some inventory increasing, and I think, Pierre, you mentioned that it was very low. What's your assessment today? Because the smartphone market is going in a correction at the moment, so you are seeing a different trend. Are you still increasing when the smartphone market is decreasing? So I was wondering how we should interpret your comments that it's increasing in a way that for 2024, should we expect some kind of effect of destocking on your product? That's my first question. And the second one is on the silicon carbide. We see a number of initiatives around the splitting, you know, the silicon carbide wafers. And I was wondering, you know, for example, a cold split laser based technology, which is adding a lot of risk to add the smart SiC at the same time. How do you see the combination with other cutting technologies out there on silicon carbide to combine, you know, in the market? I mean, is it something that you see both at the same time being adopted, or any impact on your business on silicon carbide would be helpful. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, François. Then perhaps on your second question, Bernard, could you take over right now these questions regarding the different different technology used for cutting the silicon carbide and comparisons between our smart SiC and the others?
Yes, for sure. So hello, François. So on the smart SiC, so our technology is really able to provide a totally new product that we call the smart SiC, where it's a thin monocrystalline silicon carbide bonded onto highly doped polysilicon carbide wafer. So first of all, the product that we are targeting is different than a standard monocrystalline silicon carbide product, and this new smart SiC product is bringing a lot of value. We talk, and I will not come back on it, but on better performance, faster introduction for the new 200 millimeter generation, better yield. So many interests. Now, when you are talking about over splitting technology, they are mainly used for having a thicker wafer, okay, of monocrystalline silicon carbide. So this means that it's a different technology able to make different products. And our SmartSiC technology is compatible with a different technology available today on monocrystalline silicon carbide. We see that our SmartSiC technology is SmartCut technology is compatible with. So it's clarifying the point.
Very good, thank you.
Pierre, you want to answer to the first one?
Yes, so on the first question, I will reiterate what we said. Huh? We're gonna give you during the Mobile World Congress our view for the volumes of smartphone and 5G penetrations for fiscal year 24, and of course the evolutions of the different type of phones and smartphones, and for the level of inventories, as we said, we are starting observing the different level of inventories here and there, and we anticipate inventory digestions, but we'll give you the possible impact on our RF during the fiscal year 24 guidance by spring. And it's really today under, monitoring, and we are working on several scenarios, and there are several scenarios and possibilities to see possible impact looking at the trends on the market. And nothing more to say and to do for to do a lot, but to say nothing more.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. We will take the next question from line Florian Sager from Stifel. The line is open now. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, perfect.
Very well.
I have two questions. The first question would be how you see the expansion plans of mobile operators for 5G and specifically 5G millimeter wave, because as I've understood, there have been recently some slowing in the growth. And the second question concerns movements in your shareholder structure. Maybe you could comment on NSIG that they plan to sell around 300,000 shares. Thanks.
Okay, thank you for the question. So for millimeter wave, as we already said, we see a penetration around 10 to 15% today. Okay, but of course, some other countries could shift into millimeter waves that could increase this percentage. But for the moment, looking at the adoptions across the world, we see that the penetration rate will be around 10 to 15%. But we're going to update these figures or confirm these figures during the Mobile World Congress, and it is part of the different KPIs we're going to disclose at this time. Regarding NSIG information we got, first of all, we have no comment on our side, taking into account that we don't believe it's, and I don't know if you can confirm that it's not public statement, then we it's not our intention to comment on our side any, let's say, informations regarding moves in our shareholdings.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. We will take the next line from Robert Sanders from Deutsche Bank. The line is open now. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning. I just had some questions for Bernard on the smart. On the ST Micro deal, can you just confirm that this company has basically committed to design for SmartSiC and that they are basically all in on 200 millimeter? That seems to be what we're picking up, but I just wanted to check that that was the case. And the second thing would be, we're hearing that the number of wafers you can split off has increased to 30 from the target of 10. So I just wanted to check how that impacts your potential margin. Do you share that benefit if you can increase that number of wafers from the donor wafer, or is that something that would just be shared with a customer?
Then Bernard, you have been called for answering this question.
Okay, so on the other SmartSiC, the first one is regarding the refresh. I will ask for the refresh is we are really in the range today of 10 time going to 15 and 15 time splitting the wafer, and here we are moving step by step. But today is a figure that we are sharing and we are confident with. Regarding the deal with ST, I think that we clearly share all the detail on the press release. So what we can say is that the plan, we are on track to deliver the wafer for the qualification and so on. So this is something that on the silicon, on the SmartSiC, overall, we are on track regarding the figure that we share for our fiscal year 26, penetration, different customer. We are on track in terms of technology development, in terms of product development, and in terms of capacity ramp. And again, it's we are targeting around 10% of our revenue coming from SmartSiC in fiscal year 26.
Got it. And just so I understand, on the fiscal 24 guidance, is that going to be refreshed in April? Or at least announced, or do we have to wait till June for that announcement? Just so I understand what is ahead.
Yeah. So, Rob, remember, we haven't given any guidance so far for fiscal 24, but as the next steps, mobile update in Mobile World Congress, and between April and June, we will share the outlook for fiscal year 24.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. We will take the next line from Sandeep Deshpande from JP Morgan. The line is open now. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for having me on. Couple of questions, if I may. Firstly, on the ST Micro deal, ST Micro itself is going to be a silicon carbide wafer maker. So in a way, they are a competitor to you, or are you going to be buying wafers from them that you reprocess and sell back to them as such? Really? So I want to understand what sort of deal that you plan to have with them. Secondly, on the growth you're seeing in the automotive smart device market, particularly smart devices, are there any particular wins that are causing this very strong growth, and do you expect this kind of growth to continue through 24? Thank you.
Okay, then for the first question, as we said, and the deal has been announced with the PR that went as far as possible in the details, meaning that we're gonna sell finished SmartSiC wafers and we're gonna license STMicro, but we don't give more details in the way the supply chain could be articulated. Regarding some details on smart devices divisions wins, we are not also disclosing specific customer deals, but you can see through the different product lines, meaning of course FD-SOI, photonics, imager, and so on, that it is growing up quite rapidly. Then any customers potentially interested by such technologies could be a possible wins. We cannot say more.
So can I ask a follow-up? I mean, on STMicro, so do you see STMicro purely as a customer, or the internal capacity of STMicro is a competitor to your own business?
No, I'm really sorry. We need to respect confidentiality. You know, when you work with a partner, you need to respect confidentiality between first these two partners. As I say, the silicon carbide market is under construction. We are making SmartSiC to become a standard, and we need really to disclose information step by step. And what we said so far is really the maximum we can say. But in the coming quarters and years, you will see step by step more details. But for the moment, we cannot go more.
Thank you.
Thank you. We will take the final question from line Tristan Gruett from Alliance GI. The line is open now, please go.
Hello, I've got three very simple basic questions. First of all, looking at your first three quarters and your outlook for 20% growth in revenue, can we imply that you only expect revenue growth to slow to 3% year-on-year on your last fiscal year quarter?
Well, no details, Tristan.
Yes, I can do the math, Steve.
Sorry?
Steve.
Yeah, no. So for fiscal year 23, you can do the math, and no details by end market. Anything further for, as we said, for fiscal year 24 and beyond, we will comment between April and June.
Okay. Second question: when you published your last yearly results, you gave a long-term four-year outlook objective of 40% EBITDA margin. Is it still relevant or not?
As we say, we're going to give you an update on our view beyond the fiscal year 24 in the spring period. In order to be consistent, of course, with the fiscal year 24 guidance, and you will see at this time, you will get at this time an updated answer to your question.
Okay. And one last question. I'm very surprised that there is no detail about the impact of inflation, both on prices and on your costs, especially the energy and the availability of energy for your European plants. Can you comment on inflation and energy?
Yes, we are monitoring inflation effects on our supply chain. First of all, we are working towards LTA contract by our suppliers and also with our customers in order to reflect any possible increase of raw materials and bulks towards customers' finished goods we are selling. And second, regarding the energy consumption, we are covered thanks to contract we negotiated that is guaranteeing a level of prices that is allowing us to limit very seriously the possible inflation of electricity cost. Then this impact is under control and is monitored. That's the reason why it is not specifically underlined in our publication.
Thanks.
Thank you. There's no further question at this time. I'll hand it back over to your host to conclude today's conference. Thank you.
Okay, thank you all for your interest and for your questions. And the next date in our agenda will be the release of our Q4 revenue on the 26th of April after market close. In the meantime, we will be attending the Mobile World Congress in Barcelona at the end of February, where we will share our outlook for the mobile market in 2023. For those of you. This ends our call for today. Thank you again.
Thank you for joining today's call. You may now disconnect.